Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us here this morning. We just pray that you be manifest, that we would just feel you and experience you as individuals and as a community. Thank you for the way that you love and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple weeks ago, we were at prayer group on Wednesday nights. If you never come to that, stop on by sometime. It's great. There's just incredible presence of the Spirit there, and a lot of good things happen. And Pat said, what are we seeking? And I don't even remember what in context she said it, but she said, what are we seeking? And it was sort of one of those things that I had to stop and write that down. A week later, Pastor Becky asked me to preach this Sunday. Okay, God, you already gave me the topic. Let's go with it. I just love it when that happens. He just provides ahead of time. Before we even know what we need, he's already providing, because he knows. And he's good, and he's faithful, and he's true. So seeking, it's like it's a part of our human nature. It's part of our DNA to seek. Think about explorers setting out in ships, going into the unknown, crossing the oceans before they even knew there was a new world there, the Vikings getting in their ship. They just wanted to seek. They wanted to explore. They wanted to know more. The dangers, incredible, you know, the storms that could come up and everything else. But this desire to go into uncharted, to the unsafe, to the unknown, the mysterious. There's also the mysteries of science, the mysteries of the atom and what's inside. Everything around us is made up of these little building blocks somehow. Where do they come from? What's inside of them? Are there even smaller parts? Yes. Are there smaller parts to them? We don't know. We got down to quarks, and that's about as far as we can get with current technology. Or else the vast expanses of the universe. We seek to explore that, you know, if you're a fan of Star Trek or something like that. Or else just in your imagination, you look up at the stars at night, and you wonder what else is out there. Other habitable planets, maybe other life forms. You know, why not? And God could have created some here, create some in this galaxy over here, create some over there. Just watch them grow and love them and guide them and see if someday they'll meet or something like that. Why not? Entirely possible. All things possible with God. People seek meaning. Great philosophers seeking a meaning for their existence, and each one of us too. Why are we here? Why are we here? Why do we exist? Well, we can find the answers to that one, you know, right here in the Bible. Not everybody believes that, though, right? For the word of God is foolishness for those who are perishing, but for us, it's very different, right? So, yeah, a lot of those philosophers are seeking. And people are seeking purpose. What is my, not only me, what is my meaning, but what is my purpose in life? God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has it for each one of us. And we have to find our way into that. And when you find that purpose, there's a really good chance you're going to be building up others in it, that he's going to be using you to carry his presence to others who need it. Again, he already knows. We're seeking, but he knows the answers. And he is the answer many times. It's also in our human nature to seek things like security. People all want that sense of security. It's one of the basic needs, isn't it, Carrie, when you learn about the hierarchy of needs? And if you have that security, then things can build on that. If you don't have that security from a young age, things are going to be tough. We see that so many times with foster children that come into our house. And if they haven't had that security, there's trust issues. And that affects every part of their learning, every part of their existence. And to be able to provide that as Christians, each one of us has that ability. And I thank you all, too, that anytime we bring extra kids, you immediately make them feel at home, each one of you. That is so cool. So cool. And anybody that walks in these doors as well, that they feel welcome here. Part of the community, part of the kingdom. People also seek things like possessions. And yeah, you know, our basic needs are met, but we always want more. You know, wants versus needs. I'm sure you've, those of you that are parents have had the chance to explain that to your kids as they're growing up. Yeah, you maybe want this, but do you need this? And even as adults, you know, I look at a bigger, more powerful motorcycle and I'm thinking, oh, but, you know, is that a need or is that a want? I've already got one. Do I really need that? I don't know. Eric would be happy to sell it to me, though, I'm sure. Alrighty. Another need that we have, another thing that we seek is we seek love. Again, from little kids, we don't even realize that we're seeking love and needing love. But then as you get older and you get to be a teenager, then you got a new type of love stirring within you, right? And you're just seeking that. But it comes down to connection. It comes down to connection with others is what it is, that love. And God wants us to connect. He wants us to be in community. He designed us for that. In that, we can build each other up. So that seeking of love, it's wired into us. If you've spent extended periods of time alone, and it's nice to be alone for a while, hey, that's great. We all need that, right? A little quiet time. That's great. But then people that are totally isolated by conditions maybe beyond their control, and it starts to affect them mentally, people that are put in solitary confinement or something like that. It's horrible what it can do for a person if they're separated so long. Or also that feel the loneliness and despair, even though they're surrounded by others, but they just feel loneliness and despair. And they're just seeking that connection with others, that love. And as Christians, we need to be there for each other, making sure that nobody feels that. Yes, we all go through those times where we feel alone, maybe depressed and in despair. But if you are feeling that, reach out. There are people sitting here. Every single person here is willing to be here for you. It's part of our calling as Christians. And it's an honor and a privilege to do that, to be there for someone, just to sit there, especially someone that's maybe mourning or something like that, where words, there's not the right words to say. What can you say for someone that's genuinely mourning? But just to be there, just your presence and God's presence through you can minister to people in ways that no words possibly can. So let's be doing that as Christians. There's also the dark side of what people seek, you know, things like greed and power. We see that throughout history, right? Dictators and, you know, maybe business people, who knows what. Everybody's got that ability within them to seek those things. A little bit of greed, a little bit of power, and then all of a sudden it wants more and it feeds on itself. And some people seek that, and they think in that there's the answer. That if I have more power, if I can consolidate it, if I have more riches, it's not the answer. We know that. But not everybody realizes that. And it's our job as Christians to let them know. We need to get our priorities straight, right? We need to get them straight. And that's what Jesus tells us in the gospel today, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He knows people are seeking things, and human nature hasn't changed from his time until today, and probably not into the future. Human nature is going to be human nature. And our priorities can get messed up. But he's telling us what to seek. He's talking about his priorities, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything else is going to fall into place. If you make that your priority, to seek God, and he wants us to seek him. He does. He tells us throughout the Bible to seek him with our whole heart, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And that required a little bit of research for me, to seek his kingdom. Well, Jesus is always talking about the kingdom, right? He's telling parables. The kingdom is like this, or you are not far from the kingdom. The kingdom is near. He's always talking about the kingdom. What is this kingdom? That's one I had to look up. We know it many times we describe it as the rule and reign of God. That's his kingdom. His domain, which should be everything. He has control over everything when it comes down to it. Although he's given, you know, some temporary control on earth, but he still rules and reigns. So it's his rule and his reign. I had to look on the internet, you know, I honestly went to Google as part of this and researching it. And I obviously researched the Bible, primary source, right? But I also like other people's take on it. So I enter that. And that, to me, is sort of scary, too. We see it out at school now. Anytime a kid has a question, what do? They pull out their phone and they Google it. Google has become a verb now, to Google it, right? To look it up, to research it. And the first thing they see on there is what they're going to form their mind around and what they're going to probably believe if they don't stop to think. And it's so important that from a young age we bring them up saying, hey, not all the answers are there. And there's a lot of false paths there too. People are going to try to lead you astray with that. And as people become more and more technologically dependent, I don't know if you see it, but I sure do, you know, with the young bucks out at school and everything like that, they're always going for their phone. Sometimes we need to be going back to the original source, right? This is where the truth resides, right here in the Bible. And this is where we need to place our trust. Not in Google, but in this. So anyway, as I was researching that, rule and reign, also his blessings and advantages when living in his presence, that's part of the kingdom of God. That one's pretty cool, his blessings and his advantages. And also his subjects, the people that believe in him, we comprise the kingdom as well. So there's about three different definitions. Like when you look in the dictionary, you come up with different definitions. So seeking his rule and his reign in our lives, seeking his blessings and advantages, which he wants to bestow on us, right? He's not a miser with that type of stuff. He wants to bestow his blessings on us if we ask. He wants to. So ask. Ask him. Ask him to bless you. Love him. Seek him. And he will. And then also to seek his righteousness. Righteousness, right standing with God. To be good, okay, and perfect in his eyes, which as humans we cannot achieve. Far from it. There is no way we can achieve that, obviously. But thank God, through Jesus, we are considered righteous. So we have access to that righteousness. If we just accept, right? We don't earn it. We can't earn it. But we can accept it because it's a gift freely given through grace. And we just have to be the accepting people there. So those are the things we need to seek. His kingdom and his righteousness. And seeking is a verb. It requires action. It's not a passive thing. You can't say, okay, I'm seeking. No, you have to get out there. You have to seek. You have to ask. You have to search. You have to seek. It demands our active involvement. And not just part of us, but seek him with your whole heart, right? Make him again that priority. Priorities. Everything else is going to fall into place. Putting God first. Seek him first. His kingdom, his righteousness. Everything else will fall into place. This seeking, this Christianity is not a spectator sport, okay? We're not on the sidelines watching others. Yeah, you do. And you, it's wonderful. You see God building people up. You see their faith increasing. You're just going, yes, this is awesome, okay? But at the same time, we are built up too. And we need to actively be seeking. We need to actively be bringing his word to others. We have to seek him as individuals and as a community. On our own time, yes, we're seeking him, but together, we come together and seek him as well. And again, that community aspect, God wired that into us. He built us that into us. And we have a wonderful community here. Genuine Christians, genuinely seeking, genuinely showing compassion, genuinely showing love. This is way cool. We seek his direction and wisdom. and to seek the right things. Like I'd already mentioned, in our society, our culture, the materialistic thing, we're always seeking the wrong things. But we have to seek the right things, and then everything will fall into place. Verse 31 did mention that, actually, the wants versus needs again. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So what we shall eat, drink, and wear, are these wants or needs? These are needs. You can't live without water. You have to drink. You have to eat. You have to have clothes, especially in Minnesota. Okay. So these are wants, or needs, excuse me. He's not telling us to seek the wants. He's telling us to seek the needs. He's telling us that these needs will be given unto us when we seek him first. That's what I was trying to say. There we go. It's not that all our wants are going to be given to us, but that our needs will be met. Each one of us here right now has clothes. Each one of us here had access to breakfast this morning and a cup of coffee. Free coffee in the back even. Wow. Okay. Our needs are being met. He is meeting our needs. He tells us, don't worry, I've got this covered. And if you look at it, maybe we don't have all we want, but we do have all we need. Again, priorities. Seeking is a journey rather than a destination. Another thought that occurred to me as I was researching this. We're moving towards understanding of God. Do we ever reach full understanding of God? No. We don't. We seek him. We continue to seek him, but there's always more. There is no limit to who God is. There is no limit to what God can do. And we need to keep seeking him. And our understanding and our faith is going to grow. Then someday, when we pass into that next realm, we're going to be complete. But as we're living here, it's a journey, not really a destination. This seeking, it's a seeking is a journey. Again, there's always more to God. So how do we seek him? Why? In his word you can seek him. Absolutely. And you will find him in his word. How else do you seek God? Being together in community. Right. Exactly. As a whole, we build and support each other. Someone over here said in prayer we seek him. Absolutely. In song? Yeah. And we find him in music too, don't we? We find him in music. We find him in prayer. We find him in the word. We find him in each other. Outstanding. Y'all are getting the right answers here. Things I hadn't even planned on, and they're all just getting confirmed. This is great. There's so many ways, so many places we can seek him. I think of that song, I come to the garden alone when the dew is still on the roses. You know, and he walks with me and he talks with me. So you get those special times alone with God as well. In his creation we see him. Yeah, absolutely. That's those quiet times alone in nature and his presence and his peace. So powerful in that. The healing that exists in that. Seeking is not about earning it. If we think we can earn it, that's a trap. And also, God is also seeking us. He's seeking the lost. That's what Jesus came for, right? I've come to seek the lost, the hurting, the lame. And we all are lame. We all have wounds. Some walk with a visible limp, others don't. But we all have that. And he's seeking us. Let yourself be found, okay? Don't play hide and seek with God. That'd be pointless. You're going to lose. Okay, you can run, but you can't hide. He's going to be there. He's going to be there ahead of you, waiting for you. I'm here, arms wide open. No matter where you try to run, he is there, arms wide open, just waiting for you. Waiting for you to seek him, waiting for you to accept him. Waiting to give more of himself. So it all comes down to seeking him. Is it really that simple? That we just have to seek God? We try to make things so complicated. In Christianity too, love one another. Is it that simple? Yeah, it is. Love one another. Seek God. Seek his presence. Don't make it too complicated. So God, help us get back to the basics. Seeking, loving, forgiving, and showing compassion. Let us seek to be like you. Amen.